I love singing low. That's the problem. I love
for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here right now, that you're moving amongst us, God, that you love us. You love this church, Jesus. You love Church on the Mountain. You love Mammoth and Crowley and Bishop, the Eastern Sierras. You love California. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing. In the midst of this season, in the midst of chaos, you are on the move. You are moving in a mighty way. And so we just thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And I just pray right now, God, for yokes of bondage to be broken off of our lives and hearts today. I pray for just an alignment in our spirit, an alignment in our soul. God, where things have been out of whack and out of alignment, I pray, God, as we lean into the scriptures, as we lean into the word, I pray for alignment today in Jesus' name. God, you always bring healing to our souls and healing to the seasons of our life, healing to our relationships. And so I'm asking right now, God, as we open up your word, that you would bring a fresh word, a fresh healing. Rhema word in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless this time together in Jesus' holy name. And everybody that agreed with me said, amen. Amen. Now drink your coffee and forget that you had to wake up earlier. Cheers. I want to talk about something for the next couple weeks. The Lord has put a message, a little series on my heart, I guess, and something I just kind of have been thinking about, praying into, and I just want to open this up a little bit, and I want to talk about something I'll title The Virtues of Heaven. The Virtues of Heaven. Say virtue. I'll break that down in just a minute, but I want to start in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 15, and then we'll get to where we're going. Psalm chapter 15, I love the book of Psalms. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money as usury, nor does he take up a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. I love this because he starts this with, who may abide in your tabernacle? What is that? What does that even mean? Who may abide in your presence, Lord? Who may dwell in the presence of the Most High God? Who's going to ascend the hill of the Lord? Who's going to abide in the presence of God? And I love that we live in the new covenant, and I love that God is so merciful and he's so gracious. And so no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've done, no matter what your past is, no matter what you watched, like you can come and you can receive a touch from heaven, a touch from Jesus. You can have an encounter with God on your way to work. You can have an encounter with God at the coffee shop. You can have this a moment with Jesus wherever you are, and what, no matter whatever you've done, right? That's the goodness of God. That's the grace of God. But I love that David isn't saying, who may receive a touch from heaven? Who may receive a touch from God? No, he's saying, who may abide? And I think there's a difference I'm finding in my own life from just having a touch and experiencing a move of God, and then abiding. And I just have come to this point in my life where I just want to learn more how to abide. I want to abide in the presence of God. I want to know his love every day, every night. I want to walk in his love, walk in his principles, walk in the word of God. And I want to be faithful to what he's called me to do. And so he says, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? And so as I begin to think about this, I kind of begin to think about all the things that he's talking. He says, it is the one who walks uprightly. It is the person who works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue, doesn't do evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, is in whose eyes is a vile person. But he honors those who fear the Lord, and it goes on and on, right? And I begin to think about these things, and these are like virtues. What is a virtue? You're like, why are you using that word? What is a virtue? A virtue is a behavior showing high moral standard. It is the innate good qualities or morals within people. That's really good. It's within you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's within you. If you don't have a neighbor, just touch your heart. Say, it's within me. It is the quality of doing what is right and avoiding what is wrong. Virtue. And so when I read this scripture, and even more than this scripture, but when I begin to look at the life of Jesus, I begin to see virtue. I begin to see a life of virtue. I begin to see this thing called honor. I begin to see courage. I begin to see purity. I begin to see loyalty. I begin to see integrity. I see forgiveness. I see gratitude. There's all these things that are so big in the life of Jesus that need to be so big in our life. But it takes a person being intentional, saying, I am going to lean into this thing. I'm going to study this. I'm going to learn about this because this was important to Christ, so it needs to be important to me. This was important to David, so it needs to be important to me. Because I want to learn not just how to have a touch from God and move from touch to touch, but I want to abide in the presence of the Lord. I want to have an intimate relationship with Him where I hear the whispers of God morning, noon, and night. Amen. Getting to the point where you're like Samuel and you hear the audible voice of the Lord. You say, Eli, who is this? He's like, go back to sleep. Samuel, Eli, who? Go back to sleep, boy. Samuel. And he says, that's the Lord. God is speaking to you. Can we get to the point in our life where we're so tuned in to the voice of the Lord, to the Spirit of the Lord, that we hear Him morning, noon, and night? I want to get like that. But I believe it takes intentional living. Intentional and authentic Christianity. I want to be authentic. I don't want to be religious. I don't want to just do the status quo of Christianity just to get into the pearly gates. I want to live authentic. I want to live a passionate life on fire for Jesus. I want to go all out. I want to stand before Him one day and just say, I gave it all. I gave you my everything. I gave you my best. I laid it all on the line. I didn't hold nothing back. Even when COVID was wreaking and raging in our society, we wanted to push the gospel forward. I tried to love my family and love my wife the best of my ability and do it like you would, Jesus. This is virtue. Somebody say hallelujah. So I out of all these things, I want to talk about a few of them over the next couple of weeks. But today I wanted to talk about a certain one, and that would be a powerful one, and that is called honor. Say honor. Say honor. Honor is a big deal in the scriptures. And honor is a really big deal in other cultures. And when you travel and you go to different nations, honor is a really big, it's a big deal. And I have offended a lot of people, not on purpose, because I was not aware of practices and cultural things that I needed to do. And so in Asia, for example, and If you're in Korea, you know, you need to bow a little bit. And you greet people, 감사합니다, you know. And it's a certain way you have to greet people. And in Mongolia and in China and Tibet, you know, you have to welcome people into your home no matter what. If somebody comes unannounced, you better have tea and biscuits for them. If they come announced, if they give you a phone call, even if it's a half an hour before, you need to have a spread. You need to have a meal for them. And if you don't, they get super offended. It's like, gosh, I just thought I was praying for you, man. Like, there's a soda in the fridge. I don't know. What do you want? Put on some coffee. You know, they want a meal. They want some lamb. They want some fresh biscuits. But it's not just a one-sided thing. You go to a Mongolian's house, and I would go just to do some prayer. I have a busy schedule, and I'm like, I want to just bless you. I want to pray for you. They're like, no. You need to eat. I don't want to eat sheep butt right now. doesn't sound too good. No, you will like it. And you have to take out a pocket knife and you cut off the fat on that sheep butt and you eat it and you smile. And that's a delicacy over there. And you drink some horse milk and you drink all that stuff and you smile and you just say hallelujah. And when you don't, you leave that place if you don't and you offend them. Because it's this thing of honor. They honor you, you honor them. And you don't ever show, I'm just kind of going, this. All, everybody that's traveled, you just realize these things. But you can never show the soles of your feet. In an Asian household, you put your feet up and it's kind of like cussing at somebody. Because your feet are considered the dirtiest part of your body. And so in America, you know, we're like, I'm just going to put my foot up on the coffee table. I'm going to... Oh, I'm kind of tired, put it up on my knee. No, in Asian culture, that's very disrespectful. So there's a lot of things that I begin to learn and realize that I needed to learn, I needed to study. You got to bring a gift when you come to somebody's house and something that tells that person that you're on my heart, you're on my mind, and I'm not coming here empty-handed and take your shoes off. And there's just lots of things when you go in different cultures. You have to drink the tea a certain way, and man, it's exhausting. America, we're just like, whatever, you know, just do your thing. But I begin to realize that I needed to study. I wanted to study culture, and I wanted to study the people of Mongolia. It changed depending on what part of the country you're in. If you're closer to the western part, it's more closer to Kazakhstan. So it's got this Middle Eastern influence. And so things change. And if you get closer to the Russian border, you have this strong Russian influence. And so cultural norms begin to change. And that's the truth in America too. You go to the south and you got some nice southern hospitality. but you know, things are different in different parts of the country. And so I realize, God, I want to study and I want to learn, not to be a people pleaser, but I want to win people to Christ. I don't want my heart, I don't want my life to become a stumbling block. And that they stumble over me because they're offended because I'm not doing something that I didn't realize was the cultural norm. When a grandma comes, a little sweet grandma in Mongolia, they come and they sniff you. I'm like, oh, why are you sniffing me? I'm like, did I put deodorant on today? I don't know. No, that's a kiss. That is a grandma kiss. And that means she loves you like a son. And so you must return the favor and you sniff back. You grab their heads and you do a big sniff. And so when you don't do it, they're like, well, I just gave you this blessing. Why wouldn't you return to me? I'm like, I just didn't know I was supposed to return that. Unless you study. Unless you learn about people. Unless you learn. And so as I begin to do this, I begin to honor. I begin to honor people in the countryside. And honor is about lifting people up. It's about esteeming people higher than yourself. It's loving people. It's seeing people through the eyes of heaven. Honor is a beautiful thing. And in America, you know, in all these countries, and in, I don't know, I've been to South Africa, but I haven't been to other parts of Africa. I don't know exactly how it is. But I know a lot of countries in the world, honor is a big deal. And you got to, in different degrees. But in America, we often live in a culture of no honor. And it's sad. I mean, I laugh about it. Anything goes, and that's great. But we've kind of like brought it down so low that there's absolutely no honor, and it has become dishonor. And it reminds me of this great portion of Scripture in the Bible in Mark chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, we see Jesus, and he says, "Then he went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. And they said, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this in which was given to him? And these mighty works are performed by his hands.'" Somebody says this: "Isn't this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Judas, Simon? Are not his sisters here with us right now?" So they were offended at him. Oh, gosh. A familiar spirit will bring dishonor. And in Jesus' hometown, the Bible says he did no miracles in this particular setting. Why? Because people begin to get familiar. And whenever you have familiarity, you have dishonor. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. How many times do we do this with each other? We get familiar with each other. At first, we meet somebody, we see the God in them. We see the gift in them. We see Jesus in them. And then we begin to get closer to them, and we begin to see their faults. And we begin to see their quirkiness and how they mess up from time to time. And so we begin to get familiar. And instead of seeing the God in that person, we begin to see the messed up and the sin in that person. Come on now. Kind of reminds me like when we're pursuing our spouse. We honor them. We hold them in high esteem. We love them. We lift them. I remember when Heather and I, we weren't officially dating, but I was really into her. And we were going on this big trip, and we went to Asia. We went to Mongolia. Patrick was there, and I don't know if anybody else in the room was there, but we had a big group, 12, 13, 14 people, and we did this youth conference in Mongolia. It was just fantastic. About 1,000 young people came, and just God just showed up. Kelly Clark was with us, and it was a beautiful time. But I was really into Heather, and she was on that trip with us. And I wanted her to know that I would go to the ends of the earth. I would help her. And so I just made it, you know, I wasn't trying to like take her on dates or anything, but I was like, how can I honor her? How can I love her? How can I serve her? And so I begin to do very practical things. I begin to carry her backpack. And I said, "I'll carry your backpack. It feels like it's kind of heavy. Let me get you that drink. Let me get you that coffee. Let me get that door for you. I'll help you with the language. I know the language." And so this is what the guy's really trying to say. This guy's trying to rip you off in the black market. I begin to help in different ways and in different capacities. And it was honor on display. You see, because love and honor can't just be something that's in your heart. It has to, at some point in our life, it has to be put on display. And so I said, "I love you with my actions, and I want to pursue you with my actions, and I'll carry your backpack." And I remember life began to get crazy. We get married, and we have kids, and you know, our daughter gets sick, and you know, just life happens, and ministry, and bills, And that love never changed in my heart. But I wasn't putting it on display. And she said, "Hey, do you love me?" "Of course I love you. But you're not showing it like you used to." "I love you. Of course I love you." She's like, "I just want the guy that carried my backpack. I just want the guy that would do anything and go above and beyond. All over Asia, carry my backpack, love me, show me the love of Jesus, minister the love of Jesus." And sometimes, and a lot of us, it doesn't go away, but we just get tired with life, we get drained with life, and we forget to be proactive with our love. We forget to be proactive with our honor. We forget to love like when we first met that person. Hallelujah. Because honor esteems. Honor lifts the person up. Come on. And so, I think that's something for all of us just to kind of ponder and think about today. Is my honor on display for my spouse? Is my honor on display for those that I love, for those in my family? Is it on display or is it just a secret thing? Come on now. You see, honor esteems, honor lifts up, but familiarity, like I said, produces dishonor, and dishonor actually tears down. Honor lifts, dishonor tears down. And so you want to have a culture of revival. You want to have a culture where we're experiencing a move of God and God's touching people and the sick are coming off the streets and those that don't know Jesus are coming into this room and they're just getting blasted by the Holy Spirit. We want to create a culture like that, then we have to have a culture of honor. Where we see each other not by the flesh, but we begin to see each other by the eyes of the Spirit. And we say, "You have some faults, but you have some Jesus in you. And there's a gift of God in you. And I want to pull that out. I want to lift that out. I want to see that come alive." And we begin to honor the gift of God inside of all of us. And we begin to create this atmosphere, this culture where anything is possible. Come on. That's a good word right there. "Well, my husband," once my husband or once my wife starts acting honorably, then I'll honor them. Once my friend, once my boss, once my whoever, you fill in the blank, once they start acting honorably, then I will give them honor. Jesus says, incorrect. That is not biblical. The biblical response is not to wait for somebody to do good to you. The biblical response is, "I am going to love you even if you hate me. I'm going to honor you even if you do me wrong. I'm going to take the high road." Why? Because honor actually lifts people out of their pig pen. It lifts their perspective. And so if people are not acting honorably, you hone in and you look at the God in them. And you say, "No, I know they're being messed up right now. Lord, I'm kind of frustrated with how they're acting right now." But when you begin to speak to that person, you speak to the God, you speak to the gift, you speak to who they really are, and you call that forward. And they begin to get a higher perspective, and they begin to believe in themselves again. Maybe they've just been beat up by life, beat up at work, beat up by friends, beat up through COVID. And you don't know what's going on. They feel depressed, and maybe somebody needs to step into their situation and say, "You're awesome. I believe in you. You can do this." And you lift them and you change their perspective. And all of a sudden they begin to, instead of feeling like a chicken stuck in the chicken coop, they begin to feel like an eagle. Chickens don't fly. And we ain't going to have no revival if we're acting like chickens, staring at each other's backside. But it's once we begin to get out of the chicken coop and we begin to fly like eagles and we begin to get that higher perspective. But it starts with one person just going against the flow and just saying, "You're amazing. I believe in you. There's an anointing upon your life. You're a worshiper. There's a strong gift upon you. You're a writer. God has anointed you to minister to the lost. There's an evangelistic calling upon your life. And I speak over that. And I call that forward right now in the mighty name of Jesus. You're a gifted man. You're a father. You're going to be a spiritual father to many. And so I bless you in the name of Jesus. You're a gift to the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs you in Jesus' name. You begin to speak life over people. Hallelujah. You begin to believe in people. We all need somebody that believes in us. When we show honor, it lifts them. It raises their perspective. It changes the whole situation. It changes the story. It changes it. You know, I love a good superhero movie. Everything's against that superhero. All of a sudden, you know, one individual believes in him. You can do this. I believe in you. I know everybody else doesn't, but I do. Thanks, Lois. Come on. And he begins to step into his real potential. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says a lot about honor. And the Bible wants us to live a life, not just honorably, but to be proactive and to be intentional and to actually give honor. And it is very specific, actually. It says to honor in specific groups. It actually tells us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God has given to you. And so the first thing I see in Scripture is the Lord commands us, honor your parents. And this is actually the only time where it's not just he tells us to do this, but there's actually a promise attached to it. If you will honor your mom and dad, you're going to live a long life. You're going to live a healthy life. You're going to be blessed. And so we have to. Why? Because anytime we're, unfortunately, a lot of times in our stories, we hold grudges against dad or against mom, or you know, maybe they didn't do things perfect. And when we hold grudges and when we hold on to bitterness and when we hold on to offense, it produces sickness. It eats us alive from the inside out. And so you begin to get out of that thing and you say, no, I'm going to honor. Maybe they weren't perfect, but there were some things that they did pretty darn well. And I'm going to speak to that. And I'm going to just bless them and I'm going to honor them. And I'm just going to honor who they are, that they helped bring me into this world, right? And God says, I'll bless you and I will protect you and I'm going to bring some health into your life if you'll do this. Come on. Right. Honor your mom and dad. I remember being in high school. I was playing football and every teenage boy is just a knucklehead, right? And gives their parents a hard time. But I remember, you know, I really respected my football coach. And we were sitting there on the football field, and the coach is talking about plays and talking about all these things. And all of a sudden, he just kind of stops. And he's like, you know, men, he always called us men. I felt like little boys. But, you know, men, you need to honor your mom. You talk respectful to your mother. You love your mother. And you help her. And I was like, oh. Yes, Lord. But it did something to me, because here was a man that I respected telling me, no, you need to do this. They're your greatest fan. They're your greatest cheerleader. They're in your corner. Don't despise them. Don't think you know more than them. Honor them. Love them. Serve them. And it just kind of, I mean, I was still a knucklehead after that, but the seed was planted, the seed was sowed in my heart, and it began to bear fruit later as I got saved. And so I just encourage you, just honor your mom and dad. I know you all do, but it's just a good reminder. Number two, I think another thing that the Bible tells us is in Romans chapter 13, verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. And it goes on, you know, earlier in Romans and later in Romans, it's really talking about honoring those in authority. And that goes across the board, like honoring your teachers, your kids' teachers, honoring bosses, hallelujah, honoring coaches, people that civic leaders, people that have been placed in any kind of position of authority. But you don't know what they've done. You don't know what they said. It's okay. You don't have to respect them. Respect is earned, but honor is given. You can honor them. And as you honor them, you're seeing them from heaven's perspective, and you're actually pulling them to a higher perspective. You're believing in the God in them. Hallelujah. Come on, so we honor those, the teachers, the bosses, the coaches, the leaders in the communities, and whoever else is in your life that's in some form of authority. And then the Bible also tells us in 1 Timothy, and you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm up here. I just want the full counsel of God. I want the gospel. I want beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. And it says in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, honor the elders. Elder is a pastor. Elder is a leadership. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so this has been implanted in me. You know, even as a child, as I came here, I had such great high esteem for Pastor Eric, for Pastor Dave Nelson, for ones that I can see just moving the gospel forward, moving the kingdom forward and paying a price. And I just held them in with high esteem, and I just honored them anytime I could honor them. And as I begin to just move through life and ministry and Bible college and the nations, I just begin to see the wear and tear on people that give their life 100% for the kingdom. As the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors, those that give 100%, you need to just love them and bless them and honor them. And those that not just in the fivefold, but also those that are leading a church. And whether it's the kids' church teachers, it's a commitment. Whether it's, and I didn't tell him I was going to do this, Patrick, he gives of his time. He's the first one to come to church every Sunday morning. He practices with the team. He pours out his heart and soul to lead us into the presence of God. The Bible says, honor those people. Amen. Honor the people that are leading and pioneering the way. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen and amen. Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Thank you, Lord. You want to jump up there? You want a great marriage? Then we need to start honoring our spouse. You want a great work environment? Start honoring your boss. You want a great life? Start walking in the principle of honor and love. No matter what has happened, no matter what anybody has done to you, no matter what they've said to you, what they've said about you behind your back, a love that David says, I'm not talking about what these people did to me, but the person that will abide in the presence of God, the person that will ascend the hill of the Lord, is the one that walks with integrity, is the one that does not backbite and talk bad about his neighbor. Hallelujah. That's a good word. And so we need to honor those in our life. Honor your spouse. Honor your family. Honor your siblings. Honor your friends. Honor pastors and leaders. You know, honor Michael Dalton when he comes here. He pours out his life to go to the nations and to get the word of the Lord for congregations. And Pastor Che for just being on the front lines and being sued by Governor Newsom. And you know, there's a price that people pay, and it is worthy of us to to show them a little bit of honor. And I think the reason, ultimately, that we have forgotten this great principle and this great virtue is because we have not honored Jesus. We have lost our honor. We have lost our wow with the Creator of the universe. And I think and I feel that a lot of us in our nation, we love Jesus, we respect Jesus, but we've become like the people in Mark chapter 6. And a spirit of familiarity has crept in. And the Bible says that no miracles happen there. I don't want Jesus to become common with me. I don't want to become familiar with Christ. That I lose the awe, that I lose the wow, that I lose the holy reverence and the holy fear that He is God. The Bible says in Psalm 22:23, "You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All you offspring of Israel." Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Isaiah 29:13. "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men." Oh, Lord, I don't want to just worship you with my lips. I don't want to just give you lip service. I don't want to say one thing on Sunday and do another with my life. God, I want to honor you and worship you first and foremost. God, we want to live a life that honors you. We want to live a life of no distraction. God, we want to live a life that is pleasing in your sight, Jesus. That my life and my heart will be a sweet smelling aroma to Jesus. Come on, just close your eyes with me. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Keep your eyes closed. Say, "I will not allow a familiar spirit." Say that with me out loud. "I will not allow a familiar spirit to get in my relationship with Christ." Say, "I will not allow a familiar spirit to creep into my family, to creep into my marriage. I will not allow a familiar spirit in this church, in my life, in my heart, in my nation. I will not allow a familiar spirit, but I choose to live a life of honor. I choose to live a life of love in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Come on, just keep your eyes. Just focus on the Lord for a minute. Just pray in your own language. Pray in the Spirit. I just feel like the Lord's just moving on some hearts right now. God, thank you for this message today. Thank you for the virtues of heaven. Lord, that you've given us a clear and a precise roadmap on how to walk in holiness and how to walk in your presence and how to hear the voice of the Lord. There are principles in Scripture. There are virtues that we could begin to lean into that will literally change and catapult our life. That as we begin to apply these things, it will begin to open doors that no man can shut. And it will begin to shut doors that no man can open. So, Father, we thank you for that right now. And I just pray, minister this message, massage it into our hearts, God. Massage that into this, the culture of Church of the Mountain. God, that there would be a great culture of honor and love and respect in this house, in our families, in our marriages, in our friendships, Lord Jesus. Massage that into us, God. Let us be a people of great honor and hope, love, joy, integrity, gratitude, courage. Ha ha. Courage. It takes courage to live for Jesus. Come on. I want to do something. If Wes, if you can get that video, you can hold on just for a minute, brother. But I want you to engage. I heard this song the other day. I hope it plays. Our TV kind of is funky, but this song was so anointed. And we'll go back into a little more strumming with Patrick in a minute. But it's about a 5-minute song, and I feel like this, it's just the gospel, and I know it'll really bless your life. And I just feel like this is a good way to end this message. So you could turn it up and just engage with me just for a minute. Well, it's almost there. It's coming. It's coming. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for our media team. Jesus, they're amazing. We bless them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I know this will bless you. Just put your hand on your neighbor and just, why don't you just bless them. Just speak a word of encouragement. Speak some honor over them. Speak blessing over them just for a moment. Heaven's perspective over their life. You see them. You're seeing them as God sees them. Love them as God loves them. Lift them up right now and with prayer and intercession. Father, we thank you for those on our left and our right. God, give them the eyes of heaven today.
I was rich. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. So good. Amen. I feel, as I was just driving up, this song, it was given to me yesterday, and it just rocked me. And I felt like if we would remember that and keep that in front of us, there's no way you'll get familiar with Jesus. Because you're just in this constant awe and wonder of the blood, of the sacrifice, of what you've been brought into. And so, Jesus, may we be a people that are constantly celebrating you, constantly rejoicing in your sacrifice, constantly rejoicing and remembering the precious blood of Jesus, not just on Easter, but 12 months of the year. God, we want to be a people that have that kind of praise, that kind of passion. Ha, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just bless your neighbor. I told you to do that a minute ago. Just put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. Just bless them. Just speak life over them. We're going to close with some worship. But Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. I pray, seal it in our hearts, God. And let us leave this church today with a higher perspective. Let us leave this church today with more tools in our tool belt. We bless your holy name. We love you. We bless the person to our right. We bless the person to our left. We thank you for who they are. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a beautiful day. If you need prayer, come up front. If you want to hang out, worship for a minute, you're free to do that. God bless.
I remember when all I knew to do was sing your name. I was lost within the joy and gratitude you've done for me. Jesus, light, the first love.